Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. Now, when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went to shore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Thus far the text. Jesus is tired. And not just tired, like I spent the whole day in the backyard pulling weeds, and I overdid it tired. But he's exhausted. And not just exhausted, like I haven't had a day off in the last 2 weeks, and I just can't wait to crawl up underneath the covers and sleep the next 3 days away exhausted. But he's overwhelmed. And not just overwhelmed, like I have so much going on in my life. The new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But completely and utterly done. He has been on a nonstop tour through the region of Galilee, every night playing to packed stadiums and staying well into the early hours of the morning to make sure that every autograph has been signed. Well, it's not quite like that, but you get the picture. From town to town, it has been a whirlwind of preaching and teaching and miracles. He seeks out the poor and the helpless, the weak and the tired, and he serves them wherever they are. He dodges death threats and skirts around the ever-increasing mobs that don't like his whole I am Yahweh shtick. And now, he's just gotten the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, is dead. And John is dead because of a silly little man who's been playing king, who got mesmerized by the beauty of a pretty young thing that danced for him after a long night of drinking. John had preached the word of God and called all who heard it, including Herod, to repentance, and all that got John was his head on a platter. The Baptist had been murdered, had been martyred in the name of Christ. And yeah, this takes a toll on Jesus. He has to get away from it all, be by himself, seek out his Father in prayer. And this has always seemed a little bit curious to me. Jesus, as a true God, surely knew about John's death long before the news ever reached him. But he waits until the words actually hit his ears before he does anything about it. And I suppose this shows the humanity of Jesus, the flesh and bloodness of him. Jesus, true God, is also true man. And when news of the death of his beloved cousin, the forerunner to the Christ, the Garfunkel to his Simon, makes its way to him, he breaks down. There is something in this humanness of Jesus that is quite comforting to me. So he finds himself a desolate little place to be alone. A place where no one else would ever venture to. And he goes by boat, a quick escape from the crowds and all the multitudes. He leaves them, if only just for a little while. He will be back. Sure enough, he will be back. But for right now, he needs this time to be alone. But the crowds, they find him through some sort of whispered rumors or diligent search. They find him. And it isn't as if it's just a couple of straggling strangers who happen to bump into him. The crowd numbers in the thousands. Like a sea of people, they inevitably make their way to him, like how the ocean will always find its way to the shore. Now, if this were me, if I were in Jesus' shoes, and thank the good Lord I never will be, because what a horrible Messiah I would turn out to be. But if I were Jesus, I would take one look at this crowd and turn tail and run as fast as I could. Either that, or I would probably actually confront them. I would yell at them. I would tell them to go pound sand. Just leave me alone for one stupid day. Can't you just give me that? After all that I continually do for you, can't you just take care of yourself for one measly little day? But here again, we see the difference between Jesus and every other person who has ever walked the face of this earth. Jesus has no anger in his heart for this great multitude. And he doesn't even stop to worry about his lost vacation, even though he had certainly earned it, and then some. No, Jesus stares at this great dejected crowd and multitude, and he has compassion on him. The Greek says he has splagizomai on them, this divine compassion that only the Son of God can have upon a lost people. Gone is his need to be alone. And remember, Jesus is true man. He gets tired, just like the rest of us. And the death of a loved one still affects him, like it would every single other person in the world. There certainly has been tears and grief and mourning and weeping. But he lays all of that aside so that he can serve these people once again. Jesus gets out of the boat, immediately seeing the crowd, and he has compassion on them. No hatred, no animosity, just compassion. Gut-wrenching, stomach-churning compassion. What he needs right now doesn't matter. They need him, and he knows it. For this is the very reason why he came. The very reason he was sent. To serve people like this crowd. People like you and me, in all of our needs, whenever we need them. He walks out into the crowd and he heals their sick. Hundreds of people with maladies and illnesses and diseases and deformities, and he heals them all. And he doesn't think twice about it. He doesn't pray that the next one will be the last one. And he doesn't wonder what it's going to take for him to save enough face before he can duck out again for a little bit of me time. His compassion does not allow for that. All day he's with them, from morning until evening, healing the sick, speaking comforting words to the downtrodden, hugging the little children and listening to the elderly. This is Jesus, a selfless servant who will tirelessly serve until the last, even when he's dead tired and full of grief. But his disciples, of course, know better. And they know that Jesus needs some rest. They know that the people are asking, are expecting way too much of Jesus. And as evening approaches, they have the opportunity to rescue Jesus from this servile misery. This is a desolate place, they say. The day's now over. Send the crowds away into the villages that they might buy food for themselves. Rational words, if I've ever heard them. You have already done so much for them, Jesus, and you need your rest. The least that they can do is get their own dinner. Besides, once they go out into the villages to find food, we can sneak out the back and find that place to be alone, away from all these needy, helpless moochers. Again, if I were Jesus, I would think that this was a fine idea. Maybe a little bit shrewd, but necessary to say the least. The Lord helps those who help themselves, after all. But like I said, I'm not Jesus, and thank God I'm not. No, Jesus, he takes a look at his disciples, and he gives them an answer, a simple one. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. It's one thing for you to kill yourself for these people, these needy and helpless, ungrateful people. But what do you expect us to do? We have no money to buy them food. All that we have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And that's not going to be enough to feed us, let alone the thousands out there. I'm sorry, Jesus. It's just not going to happen. Of course, Jesus didn't expect them to feed the crowd. What were they going to give them anyways? No, Jesus would feed them. Jesus would take care of them. Jesus would tend to their every single need, whether it be emotional or spiritual or physical. Anything the disciples gave to the crowd, they got from Jesus. And so it's Jesus who would do it all. Surely he would, and he could do no other, because that is who he is, a servant to the masses, a servant to everyone. Now we would think Jesus, being God and all, would deserve the crowd's service. They should be tending to his needs. They should be appeasing his desires. They should be seeking out what he wants them to do and then go and do it. But that isn't our God. That isn't our Jesus. We don't serve him. He serves us. We don't come here today to offer him anything. We come here today and he offers us everything. Jesus is a servant. That's what he will always be. And so he multiplies those loaves and fish, and he supplies for the temporal needs of 10,000 and more people. And not just enough to get by, but everyone is satisfied and then some. 12 bushels full of leftovers, to be exact. Jesus supplies them with more than they could ever want, more than they could ever need, more than they could ever ask for. He gives them everything that they need to support this body and life. And he gives them their daily bread, just like he taught them to pray for. He serves and they receive. There's no other way around it. Even when all logic would point to the opposite, Jesus does the illogical. Even when his needs, if just for this one time, should come first, he lays them all aside like they don't even matter and does what must be done for these poor, helpless people for whom he has compassion. Jesus prepares a table for them. They don't need to go away. Why would they need to go away? Why would they need to go out and search out someone else to provide for them when he has promised that he always will? Why would they need to rely on themselves for anything when he and all of his promises and graces and goodness is all that they could ever need? Why would he turn them away, ask them to do anything for themselves when he has come to do everything for them? Why would he stop being their servant? He wouldn't. He doesn't. Not for them, and certainly not for you. Jesus serves you. He is a servant for you. He is your servant, and he does not turn you away. And he doesn't expect you to go it alone or accomplish it all for yourself, or get your own heavenly food, or climb your own way to paradise, or pay for your own sin, or make amends for all the things that you've done wrong. Jesus doesn't ask you to serve him in hopes that a few crumbs would haphazardly fall your way. No, Jesus serves you. Word proclaimed, water washed, table prepared. Jesus words you and waters you and bodies and bloods you until you've received everything that you need. He supplies more than enough, 12 baskets full in excess, all for you. Here it is, all for you. Here he is, all for you. Sins forgiven, all of them, each and every single last one. Eternal life given, even right here, right now, as you wait your impending death. Salvation from all your enemies, even the devil himself. You don't have to go and find it for yourself. It's all right here. It's always right here for you. No matter the time or the place or the need, it's Jesus for you. Jesus serving you. Jesus feeding you. He won't stop. Not ever. He's your servant. What else would he do? In the name of Jesus.